This morning, our scripture reading will be taken from Romans chapter 6. We will begin reading at verse 12 and continue reading through verse 18. That is Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. You know, we're all servants of someone. Now you may be thinking in your mind, well, I'm an American. I am free. I am not a servant. I'm not a slave. I am a free man. I'm a free woman. And in those particular ways of thinking is correct, because where we live, we have many freedoms, far more freedoms than most places on the planet. But yet we are still a servant of someone or something. We are either, as this scripture tells us, a servant of sin or a servant of righteousness. Now, one thing we need to understand in saying that is that both of these positions, servant of sin or servant of righteousness, they are both spiritual positions. And every accountable soul, that is the one who is old enough to understand right and wrong, is going to live in one of these positions. And it is a spiritual position. Now I want to take another look at this, one of the verses that I read, verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Now, what I've done this morning, I have made a chart. And on this chart, you're going to see three circles and five different positions of spirituality. And we are in one of these five positions. Now, the area outside the circles is the area of those who are outside of Christ. They are basically people who are in the world. They have no love. They have no commitment whatsoever to God. You know, John describes these people in 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 15. He says, "Do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world." Now, the blue circle that we see on the screen, it represents the local congregation. Now, we do know that there were local congregations after the church was established in the book of Acts. In fact, we can turn over to Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 11, and we find the church at Corinth. In fact, Paul stayed there for a year and a half in Corinth, and we read that in verse 11, that he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Now, the large green circle represents the universal church, or the church worldwide. You know, when we think about the Church of Christ, we're not just thinking about those who are in this room. They are Christians worldwide. And the green circle, of course, would represent that. Jesus spoke of the universal church in Matthew chapter 16. You know, Peter made a statement when Jesus asked, "Who do men say that I am?" Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responded to that by saying that upon that confession that Peter had made, "I will build my church." He called it a rock, solid foundation. And upon this rock, "I will build my church." Now, we see the small red circle. The small red circle also represents Christianity, but it represents the individual Christian. We read of the individual Christian in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. The individual Christian that is being mentioned here, of course, is the disciple Timothy. "For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in the church." Now, this is a fact. Everyone who is here today who is over the age of accountability, again, those who understand the difference in right and wrong in life situations, you are in one of these five positions, either inside or outside one of these circles. Now, what I want to do for this morning's lesson, I want to discuss each of these positions. And because, like I said, it doesn't matter who you are. You are in one of them. First of all, position one. All of those who are outside of Christ are in the world. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, Paul said that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in this world. Now, when we break that verse down, Paul is telling the people who are not Christians, you are without Christ. You are set apart from godliness, from holiness, from those who are redeemed. You are separated from Christ. He used the word alien. You have been estranged from Christ. You have been alienated from Christ. You are cut off from Christ. He also mentions them as strangers. In other words, you are foreign to Christ. He does not know you because you are not a part of him. And then he finishes by saying, you are one who is standing with no hope. You are without God. You are lost in sin. And you know, when we hear something like that, it should frighten us to know that being outside of Christ means that we are in this lost condition. And so we immediately ask the question, well, how do we get into Christ? How do we accomplish being inside the circle? Paul gives us the answer in Romans 6 and verse 3. "Or do you not know, as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus was baptized into his death?" And he also says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." This is how you get into the circle, through obedience to the gospel of Christ, of which the last point is baptism. And Paul is telling us, you want to be in Jesus Christ? Be buried with him in baptism. You want to be a part of his life, a part of his death, part of his resurrection? You go into baptism. That's the answer. And there is no other answer for it. Now, there are benefits from doing this. Being in Christ, we have benefits. And Paul tells us one of them in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. He says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." No condemnation, no punishment for obedient children. We also know that we have life in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22, Paul says, "For as in Adam all died," that's the physical death, "even so in Christ all shall be made alive," a spiritual resurrection. "Through Christ, as his obedient children, even though we may experience physical death, we will experience being made alive again." And this life, of course, will be forever. So this is one position, my friends, that we do not want to be in. Position two is just on the church role. Now, for those who are just on the church role, it's a great probability that you're not really a Christian. Oh, now, we have been baptized. We have taken that step. But it just may be that this person is not completely converted. It may be that they were baptized for the wrong reason, but maybe it was just to please a mate or to please a friend. Maybe because someone else responded to the invitation and they just don't want to be left out. And this may be a cruel thing to say here, but you would be surprised to know that many people are baptized just for the purpose of buying fire insurance. Many people know the necessity of baptism, so they do it. But that's where they stop. They wear the name. They place their membership with a local congregation. But their Christianity is not genuine. They live as a hypocrite. And as a result, they continue in sin. Now, I'll tell you up front, we have a church role here at Dawson Road. At the last update of our church role, there were 74 names on this role, made up mostly of Christians, but would include the names of their children and other people who attend but are not Christians. 74. Look around you. Do you see 74 people here today? Probably less than half of that. Here's another shocking statistic. You can take that number, 74, and you can divide that by 4. And that's probably the number that you would come up with for those who actively are involved in what we do here at Dawson Road. Isn't that sad? I fear that we have a lot of people in the church that are inside this circle. My friends, our Christianity must be genuine. It's like Paul described the Roman Christians in Romans 6 and verse 17. God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Again, position two is not the place to be. Position number three, the individual Christian. They are in a saved condition. They have been added to the church, to God's universal church. They may not be necessarily a part of a congregation, but they have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was given to them, as Paul described in Romans 6, verse 17. They have been added to the church just as the people on the day of Pentecost were in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, which, by the way, there were no local congregations when Peter delivered that sermon on the day of Pentecost. In fact, it was probably quite a length of time before there were any congregations, but yet they were Christians just the same. The Ethiopian eunuch would fall into this category. He was added to the church in Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 26, when he was taught by Philip. He was on his way home. He was not a member of the church in Samaria. He was not a member of the church in Jerusalem, if the church had been established by this time. We would like to think that that's how the church got to Africa, is because he took it there on his way home. And you know, the same thing could be true of us today. There may be people here who are Christians. They may be a newcomer in the community. They may be a new convert. They may be looking and visiting different congregations looking for that church home. But they are Christian just the same. Now, position number 4 is the individual Christian that, of course, is part of the universal church, which God added them to it when they obeyed the gospel. But they are also a part of a local congregation. You know, many Christians don't see the need of being a part of a local church or having local membership. And it's true, there is no scripture found that indicates that local membership is necessary to be a Christian. As I said earlier, there were no local congregations on Pentecost. Many of the 3,000 souls on Pentecost were no doubt from other places, because hundreds of thousands of people come to Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And when they left to go home, of course, the church just being established, there would be no church there when they got home. It would probably be a long time before where they went, a church was established, and maybe they never were a part of a congregation. I can't show you a scripture that indicates that it was necessary, but let me show you what I can give to you. Paul's letters in Ephesus, Philippi, and Colossae. All three begins with these words: to all the saints which are at. These Christians were together in one place. These Christians worked together at a local level. Now, the Hebrew writer talks about assembling together as the saints. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, let me tell you what this verse does not say. This verse does not say that as a Christian you just go bouncing around from place to place. Go here on one Sunday, go here on one Sunday, go over there the third. That's not what this is talking about. These people met together. They assembled together for the purpose of working together to get something done. Now, in Acts chapter 11, we find the city of Antioch and the church that was located there. That was the first place that indicated that the church was together in one place. You know, it says in verse 25, then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was, they were there for a year, and they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. So this indicates that it was a local church. Christians were a part of a local church. They were working together for one cause. And like the universal Christians, they've all obeyed the gospel. They have all obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that they needed to obey. Their Christianity was sincere. It is genuine. It is not hypocritical. The only difference is they are part of a single family unit. Worshiping and serving God as seen in Ephesus and Philippi and Colossae. And I have to tell you, my friends, if you're going to do the Lord's work, if you're going to follow the Lord, if you're going to teach, if you're going to admonish, if you're going to encourage, if you're going to strengthen, doing it in numbers is much more readily than doing it alone. In fact, the things that we do here at this congregation could not be done by one person. We have to do it together. There is strength in numbers. Then it brings us to our last position. Position number five. Position number five is the erring Christian. He is the one who at one time believed. He is the one that obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which Paul indicated. But he is the one who has gone back into sin. He is the one that no longer worships God and effectively serves God. He is the one that does not live soberly, righteously, and godly before his fellow man. He is living a life of sin. James mentions this positioned person in James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. Wandering away from God and the truth of God means that you have turned to that which you had at the beginning. You are outside of Christ. The Hebrew writer tells us, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Thankfully enough, a person in position number five can return to position number four through repentance and prayer. 1 John 1, verse 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, having gone through all of this, my question to you today is, what spiritual position are you in? Where do you stand before God with your life today? If you are in position number one, you're in a lost condition, for you are outside of God in every way. But again, thankfully enough, you don't have to remain there. You can give your life to the Lord today through obedience to the gospel of Christ. And he will wash your sins away. And you will be a part of the family of God. If you are in position number two, if you're to the point, I have been baptized, but I don't really give much thought to my Christianity. Maybe you need to think again, because you too could be in that lost condition. Did you become a Christian for the right reason? Or are you doing nothing more than just wearing the name? And what if you are in position number five? You have left God. You have let the world back in. You need to change that today. Set the world aside for the second, third, fourth time, however many, and put God first in your life today. It may be that you are in position number three. You are a child of God. You have obeyed that form of doctrine from the heart. But you don't have that church home. We would love to have you to be a part of our church family if that be the case for you today. We can work together for the cause of Christ. We can love one another. We can encourage one another. We can strengthen one another. All of these things you can't do by yourself. So if that's your position, we welcome you into our position. Think about these things. Whatever it takes, be sure that you are in a position that when you stand before God, He will say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." This morning, if you have a need to respond to the invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.